I was just thinking that Saunière shared a lot of spiritual ideologies with Da Vinci, including a concern over the church's elimination of the sacred feminine from modern religion. Maybe by imitating a famous Da Vinci drawing, Saunière was simply echoing some of their shared frustrations with the modern church's demonization of the goddess. Fache's eyes hardened.
You think Saunière is calling the church a lame saint and a draconian devil?
Langdon had to admit it seemed far-fetched. All I'm saying is that Mr. Saunière seriously dedicated his life to studying the history of the goddess, and nothing has done more to erase that history than the Catholic Church. It seems reasonable that Saunière might have chosen to express his disappointment in his final goodbye.
Disappointment?
Fache demanded, sounding hostile now.
This message sounds more enraged than disappointed, wouldn't you say?
Langdon was reaching the end of his patience. Captain, you asked for my instincts as to what Saunière is trying to say here, and that's what I'm giving you.
That this is an indictment of the church?
Fache's jaw tightened as he spoke through clenched teeth.
Mr. Langdon, I have seen a lot of death in my work, and let me tell you something. When a man is murdered by another man, I do not believe his final thoughts are to write an obscure spiritual statement that no one will understand. I believe he is thinking of one thing only.
Fache's whispery voice sliced the air.
Le vengeance. I believe Saunière wrote this note to tell us who killed him.
Langdon stared. But that makes no sense whatsoever.
No?
No, he fired back, tired and frustrated. You told me Saunière was attacked in his office by someone he had apparently invited in.
Yes.
So it seems reasonable to conclude that the curator knew his attacker. Fache nodded.
Go on.
So if Saunière knew the person who killed him, what kind of indictment is this? He pointed at the floor. Numeric codes? Lame saints? Draconian devils? It's all too cryptic. Fache frowned, as if the idea had never occurred to him.
You have a point.
Considering the circumstances, Langdon said, I would assume that if Saunière wanted to tell you who killed him, he would have written down somebody's name. As Langdon spoke those words, a smug smile crossed Fache's lips for the first time all night.
Précisément,
Fache said.
Précisément.
To ensure his conversation with Mr. Langdon would not be interrupted, Bézu Fache had turned off his cellular phone. Unfortunately, it was an expensive model equipped with a two-way radio feature which, contrary to his orders, was now being used by one of his agents to page him.
Capitaine?
The phone crackled like a walkie-talkie. Fache felt his teeth clench in rage. He could imagine nothing important enough that Collet would interrupt this surveillance cachée. He gave Langdon a calm look of apology.
One moment, please.
He pulled the phone from his belt and pressed the radio transmission button.
Oui. Capitaine, un agent du département de cryptographie est arrivé.
Fache's anger stalled momentarily.
A cryptographer?
Despite the lousy timing, this was probably good news. Fache, after finding Saunière's cryptic text on the floor, had uploaded photographs of the entire crime scene to the cryptography department in hopes someone there could tell him what the hell Saunière was trying to say. If a codebreaker had now arrived, it most likely meant someone had decrypted Saunière's message already.
I'm busy at the moment,
Fache radioed back.
Ask the cryptographer to wait at the command post. I'll speak to him when I'm done.
Her,
the voice corrected.
It's Agent Neveu.
Fache was becoming less amused with this call every passing moment. Sophie Neveu was one of DCPJ's biggest mistakes. A young Parisian who had studied cryptography in England at the Royal Holloway, Sophie Neveu had been foisted on Fache 2 years ago as part of the ministry's attempt to incorporate more women into the police force. The man on the radio said,
Agent Neveu insisted on speaking to you immediately, Captain. I tried to stop her, but she's on her way into the gallery.
Fache recoiled in disbelief.
Unacceptable. I made it very clear.
For a moment, Robert Langdon thought Bézu Fache was suffering a stroke. The captain was mid-sentence when his jaw stopped moving and his eyes bulged. His blistering gaze seemed fixated on something over Langdon's shoulder. Before Langdon could turn to see what it was, he heard a woman's voice chime out behind him.
Excusez-moi, monsieur.
Langdon turned to see a young woman approaching. She was moving down the corridor toward them with long, fluid strides. Dressed casually in a knee-length cream-colored Irish sweater over black leggings, she was attractive and looked to be about 30. Her thick hair fell unstyled to her shoulders, framing the warmth of her face. To Langdon's surprise, the woman walked directly up to him and extended a polite hand.
Monsieur Langdon, I am Agent Neveu from DCPJ's cryptology department.
Her words curved richly around her muted Anglo-Franco accent.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Langdon took her soft palm in his and felt himself momentarily fixed in her strong gaze. Her eyes were olive green, incisive, and clear. Fash drew a seething inhalation, clearly preparing to launch into a reprimand.
Captain, she said, turning quickly and beating him to the punch, please excuse the interruption, but...
Ce n'est pas le moment,
Fash sputtered.
I tried to phone you,
Sophie continued in English, as if out of courtesy to Langdon.
But your cell phone was turned off.
I turned it off for a reason,
Fash hissed.
I've broken the numeric code, she said flatly.
Langdon felt a pulse of excitement.
She broke the code?
Fash looked uncertain how to respond.
Before I explain, Sophie said, I have an urgent message for Mr. Langdon.
Fash's expression turned to one of deepening concern.
For Mr. Langdon?
She nodded, turning back to Langdon.
You need to contact the U.S. Embassy, Mr. Langdon. They have a message for you from the States.
Langdon reacted with surprise, his excitement over the code giving way to a sudden ripple of concern.
A message from the States?
He tried to imagine who could be trying to reach him. As a bachelor, he had no family. Only his parents and a very few colleagues knew he was in Paris. Fash's broad jaw had tightened with the news. He opened his mouth to speak, but Sophie had already turned back to Langdon.
Mr. Langdon,
she declared, pulling a small slip of paper from her pocket.
This is the number for your embassy's messaging service. They asked that you phone in as soon as possible.
She handed him the paper with an intent gaze.
While I explain the code to Captain Fash, you need to make this call.
Langdon studied the slip. It had a Paris phone number and extension on it. Thank you, he said, feeling worried now. Where do I find a phone? Sophie began to pull a cell phone from her sweater pocket, but Fash waved her off. Without taking his eyes off Sophie, he produced his own cell phone and held it out.
This line is secure, Mr. Langdon. You may use it.